Welcome to another episode of the podcast. I'm your host, Brian Keane, best-selling author of the book, The Fitness Mindset and Rewire Your Mindset, here to help you by deconstructing expert guests on all things health, fitness, and mindset. Today's guest is Wade Lightheart from BioOptimizers. When I speak about expert guests, there's very few people who will bring as much knowledge bombs as Wade did in today's podcast. I'm literally going to, the only recommendation I can give on this one is to have a notepad and a pen, because there is just so much value here when it comes to gut health, optimizing your nutrition and optimizing your health through your diet and what supplements to consider that can put your body at peak performance, whether that's for weight loss, whether that's for physical performance in the gym, or whether that's just to improve your overall health and energy levels. There's so much in here. We talk about the five stages of digestion, the biggest single misconception that Wade sees when it comes to supplements and diet, the biggest thing you can do right now to fix your digestion, why enzymes and probiotics don't work for everybody if you're choosing poor quality ingredients or poor quality, potentially poor quality brands, or you're not making sure that it's aligned with the nutrition and the food that you're eating. There's so much here. I absolutely loved this podcast. I'm going to be going back and re-listening to this one multiple times because there's a lot in here for me. I think anyone with a history of stomach issues, gut health, IBS, anything along those lines, you're going to get loads of value from today's episode. How to optimize your digestion, some tactics, biohacks that you can put in straight away to test what it is that you need to do in terms of some dietary changes or supplements you need to include. So enjoy. I love this one. I'm going to be going back on it regularly. So without further ado, here is today's podcast, Wade Lightheart, on fixing your gut health and optimizing your digestion. Enjoy. Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of the podcast. I'm delighted to be joined today with my guest, Wade Lightheart. Wade is a three-time Canadian natural bodybuilding champion and is one of the world's premier authorities on natural nutrition and training methods. Having majored in sports science, he has authored numerous books on health, nutrition, and exercise, which have sold in over 80 countries. Wade is also the co-founder of BioOptimizers, a company whose mission is to discover, present, and share supplement products and health strategies backed by cutting-edge research that leads to a happier, healthier, and more fulfilling lifestyle. I'm looking forward to talking all things fitness, supplements, and gut health in today's episode. Wade, welcome to the podcast.
Great to be here. Thanks for having me, Brian.
Wade, I've been really excited to talk since we got this interview set up. You've got an awesome backstory, and you've done so much in the world of health and fitness. But for everybody listening, can you tell us a little bit about your backstory and kind of what set you on the journey in the direction of trying to better understand health and just your own little journey that got you into fitness?
Sure. So I'll be as concise as possible. I was born in Canada, a little rural town I grew up in. And when I was 15, three things kind of changed the course of my life and got me into this field. Number one, my parents moved to an extremely rural area. It was 5 miles to my nearest neighbor. The telephone poles ended on a dirt road. I'd take the snowmobile out to catch a bus, take an hour bus ride to go to school. It was that's how rural it was. And so I had a lot of time by myself because I was taken away from my sports and my friends and kind of my normal hangout group. It wasn't, you know, so those normal things started to shift. The second thing happened, and this all was a very short period of time. My sister, who was 4 years my senior, was diagnosed with Hodgkin's disease, which is cancer of the lymph system, lymphatic nodes. And I watched her go through the medical model for 4 years before she died at the untimely age of 22. And during that whole process, I discovered a couple of things. Number one, your health isn't a guarantee. Number two, your life isn't a guarantee. And number three, it was like, in my naive kind of way, when we would go through the treatments, we'd have to stop 5 or 6 times on the way home from the hospital, and she'd have to so she could get out and vomit from the treatments. I thought, there's something not right about this. How could the treatments be so much worse than what appeared to be the disease? And so that led to curiosity. Simultaneous to all this, my sister gave me a bodybuilding magazine, and on the cover was a guy by the name of Troy Zuccolato, who was a blonde guy like me. He had just won Mr. California, had two pretty girls on the cover, and I was like, wow, maybe if I had those muscles, I could have pretty girls. You know, every 15-year-old boy, you know, that's the thought of his mind. So I was working a summer job, and I bought, with my very first paycheck, a weight set. about myself, a weight set, and I put it in my barn. It's kind of like Rocky IV when he fought Ivan Drago in that movie. I had sawhorses and a two-wheeler under tractor tires, and I had a pulley that I hooked up this makeshift pipe to that had slide weights on, and if I pulled it up too quickly, it would smash me in the head, and all kinds of fun things like that. But the bottom line is I didn't let my limitations hold me back because I had a dream. I had discovered Arnold Schwarzenegger, and in his book, Education of a Bodybuilder, he had said that if you had hard work, self-discipline, and a positive attitude, you could achieve anything. Now, I had heard the hard work story. Everybody around me worked hard, but positive attitude and self-discipline, these were relatively new concepts to me. And so I mentored, as I say, Arnold became my mentor, and what he said, I did. And the bottom line is I went off to university to study exercise physiology to learn more about how the body works. And I was hoping that I would find some universal principle to achieve my physical goals. And I was thoroughly and utterly disappointed that my education at university provided me a bunch of information about a variety of different systems, but very little practical and applicable, functional information. So what I went after my university career is I started to seek out mentors in virtually every field of health, performance, fitness, et cetera. And through my career worked from everything from, you know, picking pallets in a warehouse of nutrition products to working in retail stores, managing a gym, becoming a personal trainer, owning my own store, writing books, competing in contests, and eventually starting my own supplement company after many years. And in 2003, I had the opportunity to represent my country at the Mr. Universe contest. And it was kind of odd because I was doing it as a vegetarian. I was always been a biohacker and trying to break what people accepted as normal. And nobody, of course, in those days, there was no plant protein. There was nothing. Nobody was able to do that. And everybody told me it wasn't possible. So I thought, well, that's a great place to start. Let's start with the impossible because, you know, a lot of people, what they believe to be true is just a bunch of opinions and theories or common practices. But all breakthroughs happen in humanity because people are willing to test what people accept as normal or possible. I mean, virtually everything that we come to enjoy and accept now was at one point in history of humans impossible. And so I did that contest, but here is the thing. I had made some critical errors during that, and I had compromised my health so much that after the Mr. Universe, I gained 42 pounds of fat and water in 11 weeks. So I went from Mr. Universe to Mr. Marshmallow. And it was like, man, how is this possible? I got the best coach in the world. I got Spartan discipline. I got a positive attitude. I got a great background. I'm doing everything I'm supposed to do. I've been training for this for 16 years. And I had the good fortune of meeting a medical doctor by the name of Dr. Michael O'Brien, who had been well known for helping people like Bernard Jensen overcome cancer. And he had healed himself of liver disease and cirrhosis of the liver and also cancer in his own self and a vast array of people. And he was the epitome of health. He was in his 70s. He was vibrant. He had all this energy. He was super strong. He had just this total magnetic energy. And I went to him. I said, Michael, what am I doing wrong? I'm supposed to be doing everything right. I've learned everything I could in the industry. I've followed all the experts. I've hit the pinnacle of aesthetic ideals. And I'm a disaster. And he says, Wade, and this changed my life, and hopefully it might hit or impact some of your listeners. He said, Wade, you've learned to build the body from the outside in. I'm going to show you how to build the body from the inside out. And that day really changed my life. I followed his principles. He taught me about enzymes. He taught me about probiotics. He taught me about the digestive system. He talked about the process of how we absorb our vitamins and minerals and why elimination is so important and how to detoxify the body of the inadvertent consumption of chemicals thanks to, you know, the unintended consequences of technological innovation. And in a very short order, within 6 months, not only had I recaptured my aesthetics ideal, I got my physique back, but I also hit a new level of performance and a new level of health. And those are the three pinnacles or sides of the bioptimization triangle: aesthetics, performance, and health. And Matt and I started a company at that time. That's my co-founder. And athletes get fit, but do so without compromising their health. And over the course of the next 4 years, we coached over 15,000 worldwide people, and we collected an incredible amount of clinical data from every kind of background that you can imagine. And from those, we were able to develop some sound principles of performance and health and optimizing gut health as well as it relates to fitness and performance and aesthetics. And I made a comeback. I made a comeback in quick order, won 2 national championships, went back to the world championships, and instead of placing 13th, I got 5th. And by the way, if you saw my genetics, I have no business being in a bodybuilding contest, but I just love the sport. And the bottom line is I didn't have the weight gain after. I didn't blow apart. I didn't fall apart. And during the preparation, I didn't have the typical sufferings that most people had, the brain fog, the achy joints, the chronic tiredness. None of those things happened during that contest preparation. And I was like, okay, you know what? We've really cracked the code here. And I started applying in my holistic health clinic in Vancouver. I was running a holistic health clinic at that time. And I started writing books and taking that to the world on a broader scale. And of course, that original company that Matt and I founded, producing the supplements as well as teaching the education to, in order to apply this, morphed into Bioptimizers, which is now one of the most trusted brands in the kind of biological optimization or biohacking community.
Yeah, you've got a fantastic, I've been experimenting with some of your supplementation, and it's just such high quality ingredients. And you can tell that there's so much put into it in terms of, as you said, building the body from the inside out, which is what I want to focus on now. We are going to get into kind of gut health and enzymes and probiotics and all of that, because I definitely want to pick your brain on all of those topics. But you mentioned building from the inside out, which I love. For people listening, what do you recommend as the first step to start building from the inside out? And the reason I bring that up is, myself included, from my background, I've done bodybuilding and transitioned out into the world of endurance sports now. But there's a lot of people listening to the podcast who will focus on the aesthetic first and foremost, and can sometimes forget, I know through conversations I've had, can sometimes forget about taking a either a holistic approach or from an inside out approach. What would you recommend to those people in terms of the first step, what they should look at in order to start taking a more inside out approach versus an outside in approach?
Well, first off, it's very common, especially when you're young. Most people are attracted to the industry through an aesthetics. Either they're looking to look better, or there's some sort of performance mechanism there, external outcome, like, you know, play well in soccer or football or something like that. But at the end of the day, there's a common assumption that is made in the entire nutrition industry. And it also is the thing that accounts for so much variance in dietary selection. And that is, we make the assumption that if I put food in my mouth, it automatically goes into the cells of my body. And this is something, you know, I'm a formally trained nutritionist, okay? And they gloss over a little bit about enzymes, a little bit about probiotics, and that's it. And here's the thing. There's a very elaborate process. It's a sink that goes on into digestion. So you're not what you eat, you're what you digest, absorb, and utilize, and dare I say also what you eliminate. And so what happens for a lot of people is you say, well, I'm consuming 200 grams of protein a day, therefore I'm getting 200 grams delivered to my muscles. But that's not true. I've broken it down into 5 essential stages that your digestive process goes through. And that process, if any part of that is compromised, you are only getting a fraction of what you're consuming into your cells as energy units or as building blocks. Now, and conversely, anything that is not digested properly now becomes a potential toxin. And unfortunately, over the last 70 or 80 years, there are unintended consequences to technological innovation, the massive use of herbicides, pesticides, and fungicides, the prolific use of fertilizers, which depleted not only our soil of vitamins and minerals, but forced our plants to lose essential amounts of proteins, as well as a bunch of enzymes. The distribution and production of food also disrupts natural bacteria that would have been present in the food had we grown it ourselves. Plus, we've got packaging. We've got irradiation, where we irradiate the food in order to preserve it for long periods of time. And then, of course, you add herbicides, pesticides, chemicals of a variety of sort, dyes and preservatives to our food. And all of this leads to compromised digestion. Not only we have, because we're subjected to so much light from TVs and computers and phones and all this sort of stuff, that we've disrupted our normal circadian rhythm with all biological organisms go by. And so all of that leads to a mosh pit where A third of the population is suffering from digestive issues on any given day, and one quarter of those people are on either over-the-counter or prescription medication on a permanent basis, leading to 12% of the emergency hospital visits today are related to gastrointestinal conditions. So what happened to me and could be happening to your listeners is the very principles, practices that I was following to achieve the ultimate in aesthetics or the ideal as represented at the Mr. Universe contest was actually severely compromising my health and my long-term performance. And had I not found Michael and got fortunate enough for that occasion, who knows where I might be now, or certainly by optimizers wouldn't exist.
It's such a great message that you're not what you eat, you're what you absorb. Like that is such a key takeaway when it comes to overall nutrition. You mentioned the stages of digestion. Can you expand a little bit on the five stages of digestion?
Absolutely. So the first phase is to taste, touch, sense, smell the food. And I do believe this is one of the reasons why finger food is so popular. You know, the classic things that you know, chips and burgers and things that you touch with your hands, people often like better because there is actually a somatic effect to your food, how it smells, how it looks, how it presents. And you can just go on, you know, Instagram and you can tell that people are really into their food. And you can also associate memory. So for example, if I say dill pickles and sauerkraut, for example, most people will start to water a little bit in their mouth. There's a Pavlovian response to food. Or if you think of your favorite dessert or your favorite meal or whatever it happens to be, there's a physiological response mechanism that's associated with those memories. And that's to prepare the body to actually digest and break down this food. That's also one of the reasons why many people who are dieting for a contest, per se, or some aesthetic goal, often do better by eating the same foods over and over and over again, because your body becomes extremely good at processing those foods. Now, once the food goes into the mouth, you start, you know, masticating, which is a fancy name for chewing it. And then it moves on to the next stage where the food travels down the esophagus into the upper cardiac portion of the stomach. Now, for the first 30 to 60 minutes, the enzymes present in the food are supposed to be breaking that food down. Unfortunately, humans are the only species on the planet which cooks its food. Think about that. If I'm a tiger and I'm going to take down a zebra in the morning, I knock down the zebra. I eat its entrails first, where the enzymes and probiotics are, then I eat the carcass. If I'm a bear and I'm grabbing a salmon or I'm eating blueberries in the field, I'm eating in the raw state where I get the enzymes present in that organism as well as any bacteria that's associated with. And the same thing as if I'm a horse or I'm a cow and I'm eating the freshest sprouts I possibly can in the field. I'm searching for the greenest, most enzymatically rich, probiotic-laden food. But we have change that cycle. We don't get our food out of gardens directly, and they are often shipped, transported, and processed, and all these sort of things. And there's a certain element of convenience to that, without a doubt. However, what happens is because we don't have these things present, digestion is incomplete from the start. The third stage is what happens is hydrochloric acid then comes in after 30 to 60 minutes. The hydrochloric acid comes in and further breaks down the food, and it does two different functions. One, it changes the pH of the mixture, which activates some enzymes and deactivates others. The other thing that hydrochloric acid does is that it disinfects our foods from bugs, from parasites, from bacteria, and from viruses that could be harmful. Because remember, it's a single canal from your mouth to your butt. The food is in this tube. It's not in your cells where you need it. Once the food gets broken down further, it then exits the stomach, and our body will use what's called bicarbonate buffers to buffer that high acidic meal now at this point. And if it doesn't do that very well, you can get perforations in the colon or in the intestinal tract where you get ulcers and things like that, because usually that's a mineral issue. And then it goes into the fourth stage of digestion, which is where the probiotics work on it. And so you have in your intestinal tract, you've got what I call the good, the bad, and the ugly. About 10% of the bacteria are really good, that are essential, that you need. And about 10% are really, really bad and not very good for you, perform a bunch of functions. For example, it's estimated that somewhere between 70 and 95% of your neurotransmitters for your brain are actually made in your gut. So we have a symbiotic relationship with these bacteria cultures that produce all sorts of things. And it's also the stage of digestion where they take what has been broken down and convert it into the final components of either energy or building blocks. And if you have a disruption in your microbiome, that's what it's collectively called, oftentimes you will not be able to digest some foods, or you'll easily digest others. And then the final stage is elimination. Now, we live highly sedentary lives. We sit a lot. We don't exercise nearly the same amount as our ancestors that did. I mean, 100 years ago, the World Health Organization recommended 20 miles of walking a day, and the average person walked somewhere between 10 and 12. It was, you think about that, that's like a good workout nowadays. And today, that's almost nobody does that. But that's how much technological innovation has changed. And the problem is we have oftentimes weak pelvic floors. And so I'll put a lot of girls, for example, on a trampoline, a mini trampoline, and they can't jump for 2 or 3 minutes before they pee their pants because they don't have enough pelvic strength because we sit so much. And so making sure that you have proper elimination and contraction of the smooth muscle tissues inside our body is very, very important. And you can do exercises for strengthening the pelvic floor. And of course, weight training and things like that, it can be helpful. But specific training in this area is very important because we run into problems, especially later on in life. That really constitutes the 5 stages of digestion. And the reality is any disruption in any part of these has a cascading level effect. For example, if you don't have enough enzymes present in your food, pre-digestion of essential amino acids doesn't happen, and that leaves potential proteins undigested in your intestines, which can feed bad bacteria, which can produce all sorts of endotoxins like indole and skadol that can affect brain. So if you're waking up in the morning with crusty eyes and bad breath and sluggish, chances are you have undigested protein. Or oftentimes people who have suffer from depression or anxiety or things like that, often it's a neural, they're not converting their proteins into the polypeptide chains that make neurotransmitters. Also, if you're not producing enough hydrochloric acid, it makes you susceptible to bacteria infections, parasite infections, acid reflux, and heartburn. And of course, if you have a disbalance in the probiotics inside your guts, oftentimes from the use of antibiotics, what will happen then is you'll have problem elimination, you'll have a lot of gas, oftentimes skin issues, and a variety of food cravings, for example, uncontrollable food cravings because of a dysbiosis. You have literally the bacteria hooked into your nervous system are telling you to go to, you know, the 7-Eleven at night and grab that ice cream or that chocolate bar because they need to be fed. And so once you've identified these things, you can eliminate many of the things that you think that are normal and natural for you are actually just consequences of technological innovation, and they are correctable.
There's so much to unpack there. I'm definitely going to be recommending people have a notepad and pen for this episode because there's just so much in terms of how the gut affects everything. As you said, everything from bad breath to eliminating gas, bloating, heartburn, all of these other issues can largely be stemmed from digestion. I know this is a tricky one to answer, but what's the single biggest thing someone can do to fix their digestion?
Well, I think there's a couple things that you can do. First and foremost, if you're having digestive issues, let's say the food is sitting in your guts like a stone, or you know, your crap really smells bad, or you have a lot of gas, or you bloat up a lot. For example, a lot of girls suffer from this extensively. What you can do is I have a couple of quick hacks that you can test. So, I mean, you can go off and get a great GI test and all these sort of things, but there's some easy things to do. Number one, take 2 tablespoons of lemon juice after a meal. So if you normally have a meal that sits in your stomach and you take those 2 tablespoons of lemon juice and it doesn't feel as you know, stony, if you will, chances are you're low in enzymes, digestive enzymes, and particularly proteolytic enzymes are the ones that most people are suffering consequences from. Although if you have, for example, trouble metabolizing carbohydrates, that's usually carbohydrate metabolizing enzymes like amylase, protease or protein. And if you have a lot of skin conditions, oftentimes that's lipase, the enzyme that breaks down fats. So that's the first stage. Second thing you can do, you can take if you suffer from acid reflux or heartburn a lot, or food kind of pops up like that, what you can do is you can take literally a quarter teaspoon of baking soda, mix it in 4 to 6 ounces of water. It's a small cup of water. Mix it up and drink it. If you burp within 5 minutes, you make enough hydrochloric acid. If you don't burp within 5 minutes, you don't have enough hydrochloric acid, and adding something like hydrochloric acid would be a great thing. And then the final one is if you are chronically having problems, queasy guts, you get a lot of infections, or every bug that goes around, or you have problems elimination, or gas and bloating a lot, chances are you have a dysbiosis of your gut bacteria. And in that case, you probably should go get a viome test or a GI test and see what probiotics might be of benefit to you, or take a very potent strain that will go in and wipe out the bad guys inside your intestinal tract. And by doing that, you can get your body to rebalance your digestive system. And there's a variety of things we go. I mean, that's kind of the short version. We have kind of extensive periods after that, but those are the big ones to check in first.
Many people try enzymes and probiotics and they don't see results with it. Like, they'll incorporate different types, different brands, etc. Why is it? Is it that the enzymes and probiotics aren't all created equal? Is it down to doing the test like you mentioned first to find what's going to be a good fit for you? Or what do you kind of see in kind of your area of expertise with that?
Yeah, so, you know, I've worked at every area, every level of the health and nutrition industry and the supplement industry. And there is a lot of wonderful companies. I would say 5% of companies who are founded for the same reasons that we founded our company. We had an itch that we had to scratch. And then 95% are running on trends, which are producing what I call Me Too products, which are based on margin, not on mission. And our mission is to help people biologically optimize. That's it. And we didn't compromise anything. We didn't make products that were, say, commercially viable or priable, or what should I say, priced for the market. We make products that work. And when it comes to things like enzymes, there's different classes and qualities of enzymes that, to the layman, they can't determine the quality of a product. For example, there are plant-based enzymes, there are animal-based enzymes, there are systemic enzymes, and then there's a thing called cultured enzymes. Now, a cultured enzyme will be anywhere between 100 and 1,000 times more potent than an animal or a plant-based enzyme. A systemic enzyme can only be taken not with food. It can only be used systemically, so you can only take it on an empty stomach, where a really high-quality digestive enzyme, let's say cultured, can be used both to increase digestion or can be taken on an empty stomach to create a systemic effect. Animal-based enzymes will only work in a very narrow pH band. Plant-based enzymes will make in a longer a bigger range of pH. And so depending on the type of diet that you follow, where maybe your internal conditions, as well as the quality of the enzymes that you choose, not to mention how they're formulated, how many enzymes are in there, what's the potency of it, how much of that product is in there, are there any weird fillers or chemical agents in there that shouldn't be in there, all of those things are going to factor. And that's why you'll go to the store and you'll see one type of enzyme that's $20 and another one that's $120. And you go, well, what's the difference? Well, that's the difference.
I want to pick your brain on something, and I'm going to double back into probiotics and enzymes for sure, because there's a couple more things on that. But you mentioned there about diet choices and how the enzymes are obviously going to be impacted or affected by the dietary choices you make. You're vegetarian, and I follow a mostly plant-based diet. I eat meat, but I'm primarily plant-based. I'm curious, because you mentioned the unintended consequences of, say, technology, how do you minimize the negative effects when you're clearly largely plant-based as well? What are your kind of tips or techniques, or even just personal approach to nutrition, to get the best out of your food, even away from the supplement side, because of those unintended consequences of technology that you mentioned earlier?
Yeah, great question. Well, the first and foremost is assume that, you know, if assumptions will kill you. Okay. I would get food, if you can, locally from farmers markets, and fresh produce is always better. And if you get an opportunity to go to a farmer's market and talk to the farmers, how do they grow it? Do they put chemicals on the ground? What kind of things do they do? That's a very big, so your time stamp from the farm to your table is much lower than if you buy in commercial stores. If you are forced to buy in commercial stores, as most of us are, assume that if you don't assume that there's chemicals on that food, then you are going to consume them. And what that means is I actually use a water technology that I use a special ionizer that makes this 11.5 pH water. And what 11.5 pH water, it has a low osmotic pressure and will emulsify oil. So I'll wash my vegetables in this high pH water, and you'll actually see all of the oil-based chemicals come off the food. And keep in mind, I only buy organics. So what a lot of people don't realize is that organic food, I know here in the United States, I'm not sure what the rules are in Ireland, but there's 50 different chemicals that can be on that food by the USDA. So it's been organically farmed, but there might have been chemicals used after post-production or in transport. These chemicals can disrupt their biomes. It can disrupt their enzymatic function because herbicides, pesticides, and fungicides actually disrupt the enzymatic function of bugs, and that's how they kill them. So my question is, well, how many of those chemicals do I need to eat before it disrupts my enzymatic production? Who knows? I'm not taking that chance. So that's the first thing. Really thoroughly wash in a high pH water. Get any of the oil-based pesticides. If you can grow your own food, that's great. If you can get it at a farmer's market, that's great. And definitely want to go with organics over conventional. The second thing is you want to make sure that you do some testing in your life. Run those simple tests that I suggested. But really start to journal and see what foods cause a disruption in your body. Which ones don't digest well. And start to learn. Now, keep in mind, by making these observations, what will happen is you'll eventually start to see patterns. There might be families of foods that you don't digest well. Well, it turns out there's genetic and epigenetic responses to food. So, for example, my heritage is actually from Northern Europe. I'm exclusively from Northern Europe. And I do really well on potatoes and things like that, where I've got friends who are from Asia that don't digest potatoes very well. Right? They do very well on rice. So fortunately, I've been able to overcome any of my genetic and epigenetic tendencies by using full spectrum enzymes like the products we make in order to, I can eat just about any, I could probably do any diet. I'm dietary agnostic. I think people should pick the diet that's right for them, that works best for them and reaches their goals. And so like Matt, he's a keto guy. It's my co-founder, and I'm a plant-based guy. So, I mean, we couldn't be any further on the spectrum, but we not only thrive as business partners, but it also provides us contrary experiences and theories that we can then apply to a more universal crowd.
Yeah, similar, I think, to your own podcast. I'm so fortunate I get to chat to you and other experts, and you get to see all those contrarian views sometimes, and it kind of opens up your mind to nutrition. I'm curious, from the gut health standpoint, just as someone that's so widely schooled in this area, is there any, I won't say nutritional no-nos, but is there any nutritional or food choices that you highly recommend people either avoid or minimize when it comes to gut health?
Well, I think if you have compromised gut health, you first need to go through a process of elimination. You need to eliminate the foods that are causing problems for you. But you have to also recognize that the better your health becomes, I believe, the more choices or the more options that you have. So usually most people go through a process of elimination. This is why cleansing and detoxes are so powerful, but you can't experience robust health on a detox or a cleanse. You can't stay on these permanently. The other things, there's the social consequences of eating. So number one, take everything that you know, and I would say take it with a grain of salt. So in other words, suspend your desire to condemn other people. Rather, look for the common elements in digestive theories or dietary theories, and you'll find that about 80% of them are concordant with each other, even if they look like they're opposing diets. Second thing, test. Okay, to find out what's best for you, I would say as a genetic test with someone who can read epigenetics, getting a viome or a GI map done with a naturopathic doctor, looking at a spectrocell to see what vitamins and minerals that you are absorbing or have challenges absorbing inside your body. And then, test, and try products, try things, see what it works. And then after maybe 2 years, you'll be able to completely optimize your diet for the rest of your life.
That's such fantastic advice. I'm curious, Wade, in terms of the misconceptions that you see, is there kind of any single one or two misconceptions that you regularly see when it comes to either nutrition or supplements?
Well, one is that there is only one way to the top of the mountain. And I have found, and you know, I've been in this industry literally for 33 years, and I see all sorts of trends come and go. And what happens, and I'm going to explain how to understand trends. Any dietary practice, any supplement, any training regimen, the response rate on a given population is going to go to a standard bell curve. In other words, 2% of those people are going to have extraordinary results. And 2% of those people, it's almost going to kill them. And then everyone else is going to be on a bell curve in between. So you start out in your journey, you're going to be in the middle of the bell curve with your choices. Okay, we're going to manage our sugar intake. We're going to manage our bad fats. We're going to make sure that we have a certain amount of protein, a certain amount of what I would call clean carbohydrates and some essential fatty acids. That's a pretty sound start to anybody's dietary regimen. And we're going to keep our caloric content within range of our metabolic output. In other words, our total life output. That's standard. Now, as we go through life, as biohackers or people who are concerned with performance or being at our best or aging healthily or performing at the highest level, we're going to have to start running tests so that we can get every part of our life in the 2%, that high 2% of the bell curve. And the difference between the top of the bell curve where everybody kind of finds themselves to what we call optimization, which is in that where you've honed your diet, your supplementation practice, your testing protocols, you've assembled what we call a Jedi Council of advisors to give you the specific information that you need. That's when you break records. That's when you shock the public. That's when you're able to go to the next level. And the process of people who are attracted to the aesthetics side of fitness early on in life. And I think that's a noble pursuit, by the way. I think you should want to look good. I think you should want to feel fit. I think you should want to perform those levels and set those standards for yourself. Ultimately, as life comes on, careers come on, business goes up, you're going to be more concerned about your performance than maybe exactly how you look. So cognitive performance, energy, sleep production, all these things are going to take a bigger role in your life as the, you know, the responsibilities of life build up. And then ultimately, you're going to move towards a more health-oriented diet and exercise regimen. So there's nothing healthy about competing in competitions, playing sports. You have a high level of fitness and a high level of performance, and that serves as a foundational base for your lifelong regimen. And I think it's really great. But recognize that ultimately, as you age and as you go through the seasons of life, you will start tweaking and learning new things that will help you optimize. So no diet should be static for the rest of your life. Every diet has advantages and limitations, and being flexible enough in your mind to move into these other areas will set you up for long-term healthy, high performance. And that's what we're encouraging people. And it, sometimes, you know, when I was young, but if you can get those little thoughts in your head now, it'll set you up for when you see something that's contrary to what you hold near and dear, you'll be able to say, you know what, I'm going to just listen to this person, maybe even experiment with something to see if that does have a benefit for me, either now or down the road.
Yeah, it's so true. Everything you said there about getting into it originally for aesthetic reasons. Like, I remember when I was 21, 22, and somebody would tell me they were training for performance. I'm like, why are you training for performance? Or why are you training for health? I'm like, you don't want to look good. And I could never understand, because it was so, I was so closely tied to that goal. And then now in my early 30s, it's gone a complete 180, where the focus is on performance for events or health if it's in an off season where I'm trying to get that balance right. You, in your 33 years, you've seen so many trends and fads, Wade. What's the biggest red flag you see at the minute, either online or just in with the general population, when it comes to anything that you see in terms of nutrition or supplementation? So not even a misconception, just a flat red flag where this is misinformation, this is incorrect, especially with your background in sports science and your background in health and wellness in general. What's that thing that you see, or is there a thing that you see that is just blanket misinformation that people need to watch out for?
Well, I think the biggest thing is what's in this, you know, supplements that drive a lot of the industry, and people want those little edges and advantages. And I think you can't get out of the idea of having you can have a healthy, balanced diet is a load of crap. In today's world, it's impossible to get everything your body requires from a quote unquote balanced diet, whatever your diet philosophy. The second thing is what I would say is low grade chemical agents added to supplements. If you're taking supplements and they have blue dyes, they have the things like, you know, magnesium stearate and this dicalcium oxide and all these kind of chemical agents that you can't spend, there is a severe chemical consequence to consuming those foods in the long term. And they can disrupt you on levels that you can't comprehend early on in life. So food additives, food preservatives, chemical agents have no business in your food and have no business in your nutritional supplements. And so any supplement that has those agents in it is not well put together. It's based on margin. It's based on a look, and it's based on hype. Any reasonable, responsible company should be putting only good things in the food or in the supplements. Everything else has no business being there.
Well, one thing that jumped out at me straight away there is magnesium stearate, because that's in so many supplements. What's the, and it's, would you believe it was the first thing I noticed when I was working through your supplement list? I'm like, there's no magnesium stearate in any of these. What's the danger of that? And the reason I point that out is because this one is probably the one I see most common. Maybe even US, Canada supplement based, I'm sure it's the same, but definitely Ireland, the UK and in Europe. What's the kind of danger of magnesium stearate, or what does that signal? Is it a signifier of just poor quality in terms of supplementation?
Yeah, exactly. Because it's a convenient flow agent. So when you're putting together supplements, and one of the challenges that happens is when you're putting these things, various nutritional supplements, they all have to go through these machines. And there's things called flow regulators, that excipients is the technical name, that allows things to flow through the producer, through the, nozzles, and if you will, that put the food into the supplement. And oftentimes they'll add magnesium stearate to things because it'll put things that would normally stick together or clump together and jam up the lines so that they can produce it faster, more quickly, and that it flows easily into the capsules. And so companies that do that, they're shortchanging quality. They're not going to take the time to, spend the extra money on the machine, spend the extra money on a flow excipient that will not be damaging to the body. They probably are using, cheap gelatin-based capsules instead of plant-based capsules. All these little components. And also they'll oftentimes add dye or coloring agents or preservatives inside of this so that they can extend shelf life, so it can sit on the shelf a lot longer. All those things improve the margin of a company, but they may compromise the health of people. And they'll do that so they can produce a product cheaper. But cheaper is cheaper, and there's nothing more expensive than a product that doesn't work. And it's very expensive when you constantly make what I would call cost versus value-based decisions when it comes to your health.
Yeah, what I'm hearing you say is that you get what you pay for when it comes to supplementation. And I couldn't be a bigger believer of long-time listeners of the podcast and know that I either tell people if you're using supplements, use high-quality ones or don't use them at all. Like I think that approach can work very, very well for people, for the majority. And I think you've just cemented that. Wade, I just have one final question, and this might be in an area of your personal life. It might be business related. It might be something bio-optimizers. It may be completely different. What are you currently most excited about right now?
There's a couple of things. So I'll squeeze a couple of things. Well, one thing is we have, four formulators and a chemist, a very advanced chemist, and two PhDs, which are testing our products inside the guts. And we are making literal breakthroughs in the last 4 months, which I'm very excited to be sharing with the world. We're actually proving the efficacy of not only our products, but many of the ingredients that we use. And we've got some really great things. That's one thing I'm excited about. Second thing I'm very excited about, we're releasing the blueprint for biological optimization to the public, which is the condensement of Matt and I's, literally each of us, we've got about 60 years of combined expertise that we're kind of honing down into a set of principles that people can apply to kind of be a framework to running their tests. Just to give you an example, I think Matt has completed over 18,000 split tests. He's a split testing guy. And so that's really fun and exciting. And then I think the third thing that I'm most excited about is the advancement in neurofeedback technology. We're very, very supportive of being able to advance our brain optimization, increasing neurogenesis, increasing brain-derived neurotrophic factor, and literally teaching our brains using technology to meditate better, to process information better, to take what were previous liabilities and turn them into strengths. And we're running a considerable amount of tests. In fact, we have a very advanced brain person that works directly with us. He's living at here at the biohome. We have a biologically optimization home here in Venice that we just acquired for our production and studio, and as well as training videos and all that sort of stuff. So really, really excited about those things to kind of share what we're doing on those levels with the general population, many of which doesn't really apply to our company per se, far as products or profitability, but we do believe that being on the forefront of education and information is something that will keep people excited and on the bleeding edge, and that's really fun. It's just I love doing these tests and experiments and sharing it with the public.
And you can tell, you can feel your passion through your voice when you speak on it. Wade, I cannot thank you enough for your time, for everything you do between the podcast, the blog, the supplements. You just put out so much valuable content, and the amount of work and, for the lack of a better term, the amount of love that clearly goes into your supplementation. I can see it with the ingredient list. And as I said, I'm really excited to see how my own body responds to them over the next couple of months. Wade, for everybody listening, can you tell them where is the best place for them to connect with you, learn more about bio-optimizers, or where they can check out and pick up some supplements?
Sure thing. So if they go to www.bioptimizers.com/Brian Keen and put in Brian Keen 10, they'll get a 10% discount on any products. By the way, all our products, by the way, have a no questions asked money back guarantee. You try the products. If you're not blown away, it's not the best one you ever had in that class or that product, we just give you your money back. It's really, really simple. We de-risk it for testing it. But more importantly, on that website, you can download a copy of the Awesome Health formula. So I created a 7-step process for activating what I call awesome health, which is air, water, exercise, sunlight, optimizers, mental beliefs, and adaptive education, testing, and coaching. And it's 84 5 to 15 minute videos where I take all the things that I've learned, the people I learned it from, how I do it, and how I apply it in a daily routine so that you can kind of scroll through it and pick the ones that are component. But I would definitely check out the bucket theory of nutrition in there, which explains the principles of orthomolecular nutrition. How do you supersaturate your body with various supplements in order to produce the result and then taper down to your optimal dosage? Things like that, which are very, very critical to really understanding hacking. So we give that away for free. That's my gift to everybody. And of course, if we can get any of your feedback, we're on social media, Facebook, Instagram, all that sort of stuff. My team keeps pushing me to do more of it. So I'm beginning to do more of it now, and it's kind of fun.
And I love that you're doing more of it. Again, it's been such a pleasure to chat. You are just a fountain of knowledge, Wade. And for everybody listening, I will put it all in the show notes, in the description for wherever you're listening to the podcast, or on BrianKeenFitness.com. Everything that Wade mentioned, the guides, the links, the website, all of it will be in the show notes. So go check it out. Wade, thank you so much again.
Thanks, Brian. Great to be here.
So there you have it, Wade Lightheart on fixing your gut health, optimizing your digestion, and choosing probiotics or digestive enzymes. I'm definitely going to be going back with a notepad and a pen or a Google Docs to take some information from that. My God, he's a fountain of knowledge when it comes to gut health, probiotics, and everything in between. Hopefully you enjoyed today's episode. A massive thank you again to our sponsors, Hemp Heroes and Clean Cut Meals. Definitely go check out both of those in the description. Clean Cut Meals if you need healthy meals delivered right to your door, and Hemp Heroes if you are looking to up your CBD game. And that's everything from today's episode. Hopefully you enjoyed. I'll catch you all next Monday.